Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, we thank you for blessing our lives. Even as we've eaten of the body, we've drunk the blood. We thank you for life. We thank you for excitement. We thank you for boldness. We thank you for the infilling and indwelling of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Even as we enter into your word, we pray the Lord you will speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, and somebody said, amen. You may be seated, please. Scripture for the week, Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Scripture for the week, Mark chapter 16 and verse 17.
We will remember your wondrous love.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Mark 16:17 is saying that anytime you believe, those who believe, there are signs that follow those people. The first two signs are that you cast out devils, and the next one is that you speak in new tongues. It means you speak a language that nobody understands. That's what the Bible says. So those who don't speak in new tongues that nobody understands, they do not believe. They are not people who have believed in Jesus. Or is that not what the scripture is saying? How many can analyze the scripture? Can you analyze the scripture? The scripture is saying that, and these are the signs that will follow. Too much high. The eyes are too much. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You must develop ears, you know, brother. You should pray for ears. Are you there? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Them that believe in Jesus, these are the signs that will follow them. It means that if you see somebody who believes in Jesus, they must show a particular sign. And that sign, number one, is to cast out devils. It's not only pastors who cast out devils. Pastors are not the only ones who believe. Is that what you know? Is that what you know? Don't you believe? Is someone, that's what, anybody believe in Jesus this morning here in the church? So if you believe, the Bible says you will cast out devils. Are you there? And then the next thing you do is that you shall speak with new tongues. Shalababa, shalababa, it's a new tongue. So if you don't speak in a new tongue, it means that there's no sign. And if there's no sign, it means that you don't believe. It's very simple. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Ready? Let's go. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. In my name shall they cast out devils. One more time. So it's not in my name they shall cast. In my name shall they. You get it? In my name. Remember King James, he was a very interesting guy. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. One more time, Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. they shall speak with new tongues. One more time. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So we shut off everything. We close our Bibles. We turn off our TV screens. Personal TV screens. And we go Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Let's go. One more time. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with me. You must quote the thing with some excitement. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs. In my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. Wow, isn't it fantastic? One more time before I call somebody. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Yeah, you must lay emphasis on certain words. And these signs. And these signs, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. You see, the reading of the scripture alone will bless you. And these signs shall follow them. It doesn't sound exciting. So one last time. Ready? Let's go. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Wow, Jonathan, come on, let's go. One more time. Jonathan, ready? Go, very quickly.
Mark chapter 16 and verse 15.
Come on.
And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Uh-huh.
In my name
That's
shall
right.
they cast out devils,
uh-huh.
and they shall speak with new tongues.
Oh, cry, why not? Why not? Who wants to try? One lady, one gentleman. The gentleman... It's gone already. Yes. Which lady is going to help us? Jamela. Help us. Challenge between Jonathan and Jamela.
Mark chapter 16 and verse 17.
Yes.
And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Uh-huh.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
Mm-hmm.
They shall speak in new tongues.
Wow. I thought you were going to say a second one so that Jonathan would have responded. All right, Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. We're looking at what influences you, isn't it? What influences you? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. You're welcome to the Lighthouse Chapel International, where Jesus dwells. If you're here for the first time, we're so glad you came. And we know that you will not leave the same as you came. It gets better when you visit us again. And again, and again. One time, you will not see everything about us. But as you continue, you get to know us. And you will love us with all your heart. Amen. Anytime you meet a lady, you meet a gentleman, you don't know him until you date each other for a while, isn't it? Date Lighthouse Chapel International for a while. and you know, you'll learn to, you'll grow to love us. If especially if you love God. Amen. The Bible says the kingdom, Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like unto what? It's like, I'm speaking King James, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast used by a woman making bread. Even though she used a large amount of flour, the yeast permeated every part of the dough. Jesus used an illustration to explain, to show the people who were listening to him how and what the kingdom of God is like. Many people live in the kingdom and they do not understand how the kingdom works. If you live on this earth, you have to learn to understand how this earth works. One of the things that you must understand, I was teaching the young people yesterday, that in this life, you have to learn or you have to be trained for almost everything that you are going to be successful at. Because that's what the Bible says, train a child in the way he should go. So you must be trained to know how to earn money. Because earning money is something, is a skill you must develop. It's either by getting a degree, by getting a skill or something. You cannot earn money in this world. This secular world will not give you money if you are not trained. Yeah, you can see. Those of you who are not trained. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you have to buy a car and drive taxi. Or some bus. But if you're gonna go out there for this world, for this earth, for this secular world, this secular system, to give you $120,000 a month, you need training. You need training in something. Training in something that they will like, that they will value you and give you the money that you need and you require. Otherwise, it's 40 and 50,000 you go get. Yeah, it will always be fighting for minimum wage to go up. Yeah, that's all we can do. Even in your own personal life, to take care of yourself. You see, one of the things that is very amazing is that of all the animals that God created, we are the ones who stay with our parents for too long. Look at how old you are. You're still with your mother. And look at the bird. How old does a bird? It takes a bird to fly on its own. A few weeks. But look at you, Sylvester. How old are you? Still by your parents. And we have the highest level of senses. It's training. It's the lack of training. Because when you are trained, you develop skills that can make you survive on your own. Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So, the kingdom of God is an environment, a spiritual environment. We must understand what works in the kingdom. The Bible says that the kingdom is like yeast. That if it is placed in flour, that the flour will bloat. The flour will rise. The flour will experience the effects of the yeast in it. In other words, Jesus is saying that if you give your life to Christ, he says that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you give your life to Christ, what is happening is that a certain kingdom, because there's no kingdom without a king. So the king himself with his kingdom, that's what he said. He said, I will come in. I will come in. I will come in and be with you. Jesus comes into our hearts when we allow him, when we invite him. When he comes with his kingdom. Have you seen a king moving before? It's one thing that we do in Africa. Princess, I don't know whether you have relatives who are Igwe or something. But in Ghana, the kings and the chiefs in Ghana, they are connection men. You know what a connection man is? A connection man is somebody who will organize a visa for you and you pay them. They're agents. So the chiefs in Ghana, some, you know, they are all agents. Because when they are traveling abroad, they need somebody who carries the chair they sit on. They need somebody to hold an umbrella for them. Because when a king from Africa is moving, he moves with an entourage. He doesn't move alone. Sometimes when he's traveling, he moves about 20 people. So what he would normally do is that out of the 20, he'll put in 5 that are not real employers or helpers of the palace. And he take you abroad. He collect money. When he's coming, he comes with 15 instead of 20. Are you with me? Because once he goes to the embassy, he puts down his application with all the people that are going with him. It's an African tradition. So the American or the British High Commissioner cannot deny him a visa because the king moves with an entourage. So you can't say you can go, but the people behind you can't go. You can't say that because you're actually denying. He's a king. You must respect him. It's like when the president is traveling, he doesn't travel alone. The American embassy cannot say it's only you who is traveling. No bodyguard. No, the bodyguards must come. Yeah. Whether they are visa eligible or not, they are the bodyguards. They will go. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So when Jesus comes into your life and he comes into your heart, he comes with a certain presence. That is why Solomon had 700 wives. Because his wisdom, his money and all of that, when he sits in his glory. You see, to have a woman means you are a very successful person. Come on now, come on. Yeah. To have a woman, it's a sign of success. To have more women in those days was a sign of great success. So none of those people who walked with God in the early days, a few of them had one wife. The kings had multiple wives. Yeah. In fact, Jacob, he even didn't have two wives. He also slept with the house girls. Yeah, because the more women you have, the bigger you are. In our African tradition, it is now that Christianity has changed. There's no big man who has one wife. Oh. And it's not like you have two or three wives and they're punishing. No. This one has a big fancy house here. This one has a big fancy house here with her children. This one has a big fancy house here with her children. And the man stays somewhere else in his house with alone. That's a big man. You see, now even the one we have, we can't even build houses for them. We can't even marry them. Even to put a gold ring of $40,000 on her hand. We can't even do that. And we call ourselves better. We are the 21st century. No, we can't do nothing. I'm preaching a good message. So the Bible says that when the kingdom of God is, it's like yeast. So when Jesus and all the things that goes with Jesus, when it comes into your life, there is definitely going to be an experience. That is what we are talking about. That is what we are talking about. There will be an influence. There will be a setting, you know, your mind and your heart and your life will turn a different direction. Because it is not possible that a king and his subjects have come into your life and you are the same. It cannot. So therefore, anybody who is in the kingdom who does not show the changes that the kingdom can show, it's not in the kingdom. So that brings us to the question, what influences you? Because if you look at the kingdom has an influence. That's what the Bible says. Give me King James. The kingdom has an influence like unto yeast. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that a little yeast leaveneth the lump. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leaven. It doesn't matter how your life is. It doesn't matter how complicated your life is. When Jesus comes into your heart, when Jesus comes into your life, there will be a change. There will be an experience. There will be transformation. Oh. This is even an evangelistic sermon. Yeah, to tell those who are outside that come in. There will be a change in your life. Come in. There's nothing that you have. He said, until the whole was living. Until the yeast permeated the whole flour, there's not an area of your life that God cannot affect. I said, there's not an area of your life that God cannot affect. So now, if we are the way we are, then the question must be asked, what is influencing us? So you go to James chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, there are three things that influence people. James chapter 3 and verse 15. Three things that influences us. The Bible says that this wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. And I was explaining that. Don't be confused with, let's say, the kingdom of heaven, and then here he's saying wisdom. Because wisdom has the same effect like the kingdom of heaven. Wisdom is something that if you have will change your life.
Richard, if you are wise, the things you do, Zon, it will show that you are wise. And when you do things, it will show also that you are foolish or not. It's so clear. Yeah. By your deeds, by your works, it shall be known, Michelle, that you are either wise or you are foolish. How many agree with what I'm saying? Papi, true or false? Yeah. So wisdom is another influence, or wisdom can be compared to the kingdom of heaven that comes into your life if you allow it, that exerts great influence on your life. The Bible says that there is a certain influence that is earthly. So you see, the wisdom that descended not from above. So there's a wisdom that does not come from above. When somebody goes to steal and the person is not caught, that person is wise or crafty, but it's not a craftiness that comes from God. Because people do bad things. And many of them, they die even without being caught. This guy, is it El Chapo? You know the guy called El Chapo? Is it El Chipo or El Chapo? El Chapo, right, Mr. Jordan? The guy who escaped from a prison in America. He dug a hole from his prison cell all the way underground. The guy is crafty. The guy is smart. But this wisdom does not come from above. Because the Bible says that all good things and all perfect things comes from above. So the things that come from God are good things. Now, this introduces us to influences. And there are influences that are not from above. But those influences are earthly, they are sensual, and they are devilish. So last week we started talking about what sensuality is about, or what it means to be a sensual person. We said that a sensual person is somebody who lives or depends a lot on their senses and their appetites. You are there? Are you sure you are there? You are in this place? Yeah. So, if you are not being changed, if the kingdom of God is not having that great impact or influence on you, then a question you must ask yourself is that maybe I am rather being ruled by my senses and my appetite rather than the kingdom of heaven. Because as long as you are ruled or influenced by your appetites and your feelings, you will not show forth what the kingdom must show forth. So a sensual person is someone who actually struggles to know God. Because when you are sensual, you are more somebody who feels appetites. I mean, if you don't understand it, you will not believe it. Yeah, because you are too much to your senses. That anything beyond the senses, you are stuck. There are so many sensual people. For example, if we say, you know, give an offering. I mean, give $10,000. Then you begin to think about it. Why should I give $10,000? What is it? I mean, the pastor wants my money. Is it because you can't understand it? Because you are too sensual. You are more feeling. You are more appetite. You are more dependent on your senses. You see, the senses must be dependent on in a very particular way. If you are going to feel anything, of course it comes through the senses. If you are going to see something, it's going to come from your senses. But to be able to live well in a spiritual environment, the senses are not the right thing to use. Because it doesn't make sense to give all your money and put it in the offering basket. It doesn't make sense at all. Because we rather want. Why should we give away? It doesn't make sense. But it is that same making no sense is what people struggle with in the church. And once you struggle like that, then the kingdom of God does not have, you see, the kingdom of God fails to have an influence on you. Because it's not by force. God will not affect you if you don't want him to affect you. Yeah, you can be in a church for 200 years and still not be anything. Sometimes people don't understand why somebody goes to church and they are no better. They are no better because they are not influenced. They are not allowing the influence of the kingdom to affect them. They are only allowing their senses and their appetites. The next type of influence is earthly influence. So you are either a sensual person, an earthly minded person, or you are a demon influenced person, or you can be a spiritual person. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Remember, those who use their senses, or those who are too much, it's like when anything you feel, you do. I feel like, and you do it. I want, I must get. If I can't get, I'm not happy. You can see Christians, if they don't have something, they don't survive. They come to church with their face screwed up. Yeah. And you wonder what's happening.
You ain't got money.
Hey. Yeah. I woke up one morning and my vehicle had been broken into. The glass had been broken. And then my fancy deck had been taken away. Now, I didn't feel it. As much as it was unfortunate, I didn't feel it. But somebody said, are you not going to the police? I said, police, please, I am a better police than the police. Yeah. Now, they can't find them. What are they going to find? What were they going to do? They're just going to waste my time. I'm too busy to go to the police, man. Yeah, maybe if somebody dies, then fine. But when they break into your car, please. But I'm still moving on. I fixed my glass. I'm still driving. I don't have the original tape like deck like I had, but I have something that keeps me company in the car. I'm still moving on. I am not going to think about a tape in a car and no. Your appetite. Of course, I'm going to get a fancy tape again. Okay. If you like, come. You see what happened to you. Come and thief it again. But there are some people, appetites. I don't feel like going to church today. If you are somebody, anytime you marry somebody like that, you are in trouble. Because when they don't feel like cooking, they ain't cooking. Lennox, they don't feel like washing, they ain't washing. They'll ask you, oh, don't you have two hands too? Don't you have two hands? Because this life, you must be able to live this life beyond your feelings. There are things we call duties. And when you have to fulfill or perform a duty, it has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with how you feel. So if you are going to be somebody who is living by how they feel, you will not do well in this life. You don't do well in Christianity because sometimes you feel like sleeping, but you must wake up and pray. Sometimes you feel like sleeping, but you must wake up and read your Bible. Yeah. Some of you must come to church, but you feel like sleep, but you must come to church. Yeah. You may have a lot of chores. You may have a lot of clothes to wash. You may have a lot of things to do on a Sunday. But you see, you must be able to overlook those things and come to church and serve God. And then go back and do what you have to do. You're going to depend on feelings and things like that. You will not be able to serve God well. So some people, on the other hand, are more earthly. To be earthly means that the person has set his sights on this earth. An earthly person has his sights set on this earth. It means that they live their life like they will not die. How many are like that? Hey, you die one day. One day, you'll be lying down like that. Hey, Pastor Mary, I don't know if you remember a song. This song came to my mind. Some song in Ghana, long time ago, how I said, Madani Osamai. I don't know if you've heard that song before. It's like, I've become a ghost. It's a song somebody sang in Ghana. It's like, I have become a ghost now. It's like, I'm dead, and I'm now a ghost. It's not a nice song. When you play it, you get very scared. Because it reminds you that you die. Shemi Bayi there. It reminds you that you die. Hey, you die. Can you believe that you will die? Hey! That flies will come and into your lip or on your lip like that. And you cannot lift up your hand to say, go away. You must think about the day you die, you know. It is more sure than your wedding day.
it is more sure. If we were wise, we would all buy caskets and coffins and put it somewhere and say, I want to make the choice myself. I don't want to die and some family people, Mr. Jonah, put me in some crap. Sylvester will go and buy something that you wouldn't like if you were around. So now is the time to choose your coffin. That's how we make a will. Yeah, make that, even pay down on it. In fact, finish paying it and give the receipt to your relatives and say, you know, when I go to Sandy's, I have ordered, this is a picture of what I've ordered. Yeah. But that's what we don't think about. Because all our minds are here on earth. One day, you, me, all of us will die. You see, in the next 25 to 30 years, many of us won't be alive. It's true. The next 25 to 30 years, those in their 40s, many will not easily not be around. Late 30s, many will not be around. Oh, Sharon, that day is as sure as you can see your hands like that. Now, if it is like that, why do you live your life as if you are going to be here forever? Why are you investing here on earth? When, you see, there's no wise person who is passing through a place who will do permanent things in that place. I want to close by this one. Yeah. There is no wise person who is passing through a place who will lay permanent structures in that place. You see, again, we are the highest thinking animals, yet we don't think properly. Yeah. Our minds are earthly. How we fight for earthly things. How we struggle for earthly things. How we think and we know. You see, even if you look at it, for example, if you look at mortgage, for example, I mean, there are all sorts of things about mortgage, but there's another side of mortgage where to be a servant for the next 30, 40, 50 years, you living here? You ask people. Ask people. I was talking to somebody the other day. Many people have worked so hard in their lives. They have died. And the things they have left behind, their children has messed up with it. And it's going to happen to you too. Because your children are not going to see how you see things. People are different. Children, it is a blessing to have a child who sees things the way you see it. It's a blessing to have a child like that. Otherwise, your children will have their own mindsets. Now, when you have children like that, oh Lord God Almighty, a day will come, the name Gaffos will disappear. Because they will tell you, I sell building materials. I don't have time. I met a man and his wife. They were selling a very big building. And I was curious, so I called them. I went to visit them to see the house. You know, it was a place, nice, big place. And then I asked, why is he selling the place? Because he designed the house himself. He's an architect. He designed the house himself. Very, very beautiful house. You will not see it from the outside, but if you enter inside, you see, what? It's a three-story structure, but you will not see it from the outside. He said, I built this house for myself and my children. He said the ground floor was supposed to be a business. I have three children. Two of them are abroad. They said they ain't coming back for nothing. They said the younger one who is here is on his way out. He's also not interested. So it's just me and my wife. The place is too big for us. So we just want to sell, get some money, buy a small one. And then me and my sweetie darling just stay in until we die. You see, this man has begun to think twice about what he lived his life for. You should see many buildings in town that are left to go rotting and break. The children are fighting for the property. Brother and sister. Brother can't tell sister, you know what? You take it and give me one room. Oh, you take it. I'll try and build my own. No.
It's me own. No, it's me own. It's me own. It's me own. Let's go to court. 20 years, 30 years, the matter is still in court. Nobody can make use of something that mommy and daddy have put their sweat have built. It's no one use. Mr. Jordan invited me to his house. He's doing some, it's organic manure. He's doing a project in his house. Now, I can tell you, he doesn't have to go to heaven. This boy here, he in business with that. That is true for us.
True.
He's laughing. I went to his house. He showed me all the things he's doing. Samuel Jordan, he was going to win souls. He's not interested in no organic manure. Sylvester here, you have Jason. Oh, please. Even the wife. You realize, when he's no more, you just see it. You see just mud. And you see animals, insects. You look at it and you remember him. It is not easy to have a child who has the same feelings and same vision like the father or the parent has. That's what all parents want. But you see, you cannot live your life as if the world is not going anywhere. People who are earthly, you can't work with them. They think about building a house. They think about driving a car. Hey, no offering, you know. No. They think about the things on this earth. The Bible says, lay not for yourself treasures here on earth. Yeah. But the people who are earthly, it is the treasures of this earth they go for. Yeah. Hey. People migrate to look for better life. Better life here? Better life here? It's like you go to Camp Street and you say you want a better life in Camp Street. Lot 12. Better life? Better life? There's no better life in the prison. We are locked up here until our sentence is over and then we go. We have to rather protest and say, God, no, God, no. Let's set mattress on fire and burn this earth down. Let God come and take us away. We must be dissatisfied about the things here on earth. Yeah. People are excited, a new government and all of that. All of those things are trying to make us think on earthly things and not on heavenly things. Like I said, now we have one of the biggest flag in the country. We have one of the highest flag in the country. But what about Jesus? What about his name? What about the banner of Jesus Christ? Is it so high in your life as the flag on Durban Park? You're becoming more patriotic, more Guyanese. And we're feeling proud that we are Guyanese. But are you feeling more proud that you are heavenese or not? My time is up. Stand to your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a word. Heavenese. Amen. Father, thank you so much for speaking to us. We bless you. We honor you. We love you. We adore you. Thank you for the transformation. We embrace the kingdom of God. We embrace the fullness of the influence of the kingdom, the spirit, and everything that comes with it. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you for great transformation. The Bible says that we should allow our lives to shine so bright before men that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father which is in heaven. May the transformation that comes through the presence of Jesus in our lives make people give glory to our Father which is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for blessing our lives. In Jesus' name. You are here this morning, you are not saved. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm not saved. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Pastor, I want to be sure before I leave here this morning. Pray with me. If you are here like that, just your right hand, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want Jesus to come into my heart so that the influence of the kingdom of God will affect my life also. I want to give my heart to Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come. Come to me. I want to pray with you. Come. Come, sir. Come, lady. Come. Come. Come to the front. Come for them as they come. 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 Come to Jesus. Come. Help them. Ushers, help them to come to me. Come. Sing something you can't. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Right here. Face me. That's right. God bless you. God bless you, my dear. God bless you, sir. Wow. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Close your eyes. Let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to have a great influence over my life. From this day forward, I confess and I acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I know without a doubt that by this prayer, I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. I am now a child of the kingdom and I have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. Help me to serve you for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.